Hey, God, we need some help down here. The devil's been a busy man, bullying us all year. He's spinning lies, made us pick a side, now our fists are up. We're headed down a path where a mask can't save us. So Lord, I pray with all my might, help us see each other through your eyes. Let's take the red, take the blue, wave the white, call a truce, build a bridge across the line drawn through this country before hindsight's 2020. Hey, God, could you shine a light? It's hard for love to grow in weeds this high. It's gotten dark, we need a spark of your gospel truth. For in the end, we're all the same, even though we're different too. So Lord, I pray with all my might, help us see each other through your eyes. Let's take the red, take the blue, wave the white, call a truce, build a bridge across the line drawn through this country before hindsight's 2020. Hey, regret is closing in. We've had the milk and honey. We can get it back again. So Lord, I pray with all my might, help us see each other through your eyes. Let's take the red, take the blue, wave the white, call a truce, build a bridge across the line drawn through this country before hindsight's 2020. Hey, God, we need some help down here.
Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Dan. That was beautiful. Hey, God, we need some help down here. Would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from Mark's gospel, the first chapter, verses 9 through 15. Hear these words. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent and believe the good news." And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, I thank you always in every way for the gift of life we have in you. I thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. And I thank you for the ministry that you sent him here to do, and the work that was finished and it is now done. I thank you, Lord, that you call us as a people to yourself and you remind us of everything that Jesus ever taught us through the gift of your Holy Spirit. And so now, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us and in us. Open our hearts and minds to what you are saying to us in this, your holy word. Touch us by the power and the presence of your Spirit and help us to be and become the people that you created us to be, people of hope, people of courage, people of love, people who follow you. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, we are in the first Sunday of Lent. And we are in purple. We have all the purple banners up, and we will be in Lent right up and through coming up to Easter. And so Lent is a series of days to commemorate the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. Holly talked about that today. In the Eremos, in the wilderness, in that lonely place we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Jesus is sent into this place by the Spirit of God, and he's sent there for a specific purpose, and the purpose was to be tested. And I understand that. When I was in manufacturing, when we would build, I made overhead electric traveling cranes for industry. Some of the cranes that we made were hundreds of tons of capacity. And in order for us to be able to ship a crane, be able to put a crane and commission a crane, we would have to test each crane at 125% of the given capacity so that we could say, this will hold the load and it will respond. And that was an OSHA requirement. We were required to do that or else you wouldn't get paid and the equipment wouldn't be commissioned and it would not be put into service. Quality control, if you will. Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan. And John says, I'm not fit to untie your sandals. But Jesus tells him, no, we must do this thing so that all righteousness might be accomplished. And as soon as Jesus comes up out of the water, the sky tears open. It's like... And Jesus sees this heavenly dove come down on him, the Spirit of God. And then that Spirit of God leads him off into the Eremos, into the wilderness to be tested. I love that Holly had today, she had the three animals, you know, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? But when you see in the Word today, when Jesus is in the desert, in the wilderness, in this lonely place with them. It says he was with the wild animals. Doesn't say that they attacked him. Doesn't say that he had any problems with them. Have you ever thought about that? You know, Jesus, who is part of the creation, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're all in the act of creation. And when you see in Genesis, lions lay down with the lambs, it was the peaceable kingdom, if you will. Everything was in right place. Jesus is out there in this dangerous wilderness, Eremos place, in the lonely place, if you will. And yet the wild animals are with him. Almost as though he walks through all the lions and the tigers and the bears because they recognize who he is. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is also Creator God because in John's Gospel it says, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God and the Word was God. It goes on to say that all things in all creation were made by him and through him and for him. And it continues on to say that nothing in all creation was made without him. So Jesus knows his creation, and he knows who he is, and he's reminded of that by the Holy Spirit. And yet there's one there in that Eremos that's going to put him to the test. Satan, the word actually means tester. He's the tester. He's going to come and proof test Jesus in this lonely place. And he's going to proof test him. And we don't hear all the tests. We hear that he was there for 40 days. But if we were to go to other gospel messages where he was taken up on high ground, or where he was told, why don't you take that rock there and turn it into bread? Because certainly you're hungry. 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness and not eating. You've got to be hungry. And Jesus could have made it happen. He's God. Let it be and it would be, right? He says, let there be light, and there was light. He could have done that. He's Jesus. He could have commanded someone to bring him bread. He's Jesus. But that would be a shortcut. That would be defeating the purpose. That would be using the powers that he had for the wrong purpose. And he was there to be tested and to be hungry for a while. And he passed that test. And he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father's mouth. In other words, this living word of God is going to live that word righteously, and he's going to pass through this test. And he's going to pass through with flying colors. But you know, Satan doesn't stop there. He takes him to a high place and he shows him the world. He goes, all of this can be yours. It can all be yours. All you need to do is just bow down and worship me. I'll give it all to you. That would be a shortcut, wouldn't it? Jesus would have short-circuited the ministry that he was there for. And Jesus wasn't going to do that. Jesus wasn't going to worship this non-God. Jesus tells them that it is written not to put the Lord your God to the test. That man shall only worship God in, you know, God alone. So Jesus is passing through this test. As I was reading this week, and I was thinking about different proving grounds that I have been to in my life. One of them was in Ohio, Lima, Ohio. It was the Chrysler Army Tank Plant, where they made the XM1 tanks. And in the proving grounds in Lima, Ohio, were the places where the tanks would have to pass through to make sure that they could be serviceable and in the way that they would need to. And they would have these ramps that they would go up and then come down and go through water and go through walls. And in fact, there was a famous picture of a candidate for presidency, Michael Dukakis, in one of those tanks with the helmet on, and I think that's why he lost the election. He kind of looked ridiculous. But Lima Army Tank Plant, and we were there, we were doing overhead cranes in that facility, and we saw the XM1 tanks going through these paces. They had to be proof tested. They had to be made sure that they were going to be able to do what they were supposed to do when they got out into the field. Jesus goes into the wilderness, into the Eremos, and he's tested in every way, 40 days, 40 nights, and at the end of it, he is victorious. Praise God, he's victorious, he passes through all the tests, and he is there. One of the things that I wanted to talk about today was the opening up of the heavens. It says that he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. The word there for the heavens being torn open is the same word that we find in the gospel when the Jesus dies and he gives up his spirit. And he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And at that very moment, the curtain in the temple that's about 60 feet high, it's about 5 inches thick, it's woven like a rug, it's like steel, and it's hanging in the Holy of Holies. It separates the inner sanctum, the Holy of Holies, from the court. But it said when Jesus gave up his spirit, that curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And it exposed the Holy of Holies so that God's holiness and God's throne of grace was available to the people right then. That couldn't have been torn from the bottom. It couldn't have been torn from the top by any human agency. It was too thick. You'd have to cut through that thing. They said it took about 300 priests to be able to hang that thing. Think about that. And yet, at the time when Jesus again was being tested on the cross, think about it. He was being tested on the cross. And while he was being hung on the cross, even the centurion soldier there says, hey, he said he was God. Why don't you save yourself? Save us, right? What, don't you see that Satan was in there again? Or when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was, you know, praying to God, and Father, can you remove this cup from me? But nevertheless, your will be done. Not mine. I remember, and I said this earlier this year, that when Mel Gibson did the movie, The Passion of the Christ, remember that movie? We went out to see that movie with our church at the time, and we had the whole church go, and we actually had rented the theater to show it to our whole church. And when we went to that movie, I went with the Bible in my head and the Bible in my heart, and I wanted to see how close Mel Gibson stayed to the biblical account. And he was doing really well, he was doing really well, he was doing really well. And then all of a sudden, in one of the scenes, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying to God, you know, Father, remove this cup from me. In the meantime, while he's there, Satan's dancing around him. In that movie scene, and there's this music going on. He's very ethereal, and he's in and out, and I was like outraged. I was like, the devil's not there. The devil's not there in that scene. It's between God and Jesus. And I left there, and I was thinking, that was bad. That was not a good thing. That was not a good portrayal. And then I remembered that at the end of Jesus' testing in the Eremos, in the desert, in the wilderness, not in today's gospel reading, but in another gospel reading, it says that Satan left him for a more opportune time. Think about that. For a more opportune time. What would be a more opportune time that when Jesus, knowing he's going to the cross and being fully human, he's fully divine, but he is also fully human. He has feelings. He suffers pain. He suffers even death on the cross. And he knew this is what was coming. He told his disciples this all along the way. And now when he's faced with it, the human part of him, you know, just like when he was in the desert and he was hungry, maybe he was frightened. Maybe he thought, well, maybe there's another way, the human part of him. But yet, he's in constant communion with his Father. And he says, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. And he again wins over for our sake. He does it for us. It's the love that he has for us he does it for. And he succeeds. He succeeds. In this journey that we call Lent, this 40 days of Lent, when we commemorate Jesus' temptation in the desert, in the Eremos. I'm also reminded that at the time when the nation of Israel was getting ready to go over into the promised land, before they would do this, now they only went through the desert for so many months. It's not 40 years yet. And they're ready to go into the promised land, and they decide, let us send out spies into the land. One from each tribe of Israel. 12 tribes in Israel, 12 spies go into the promised land. And they go in there, and the scripture tells us that they're in there for a period of 40 days. And they're in there, and they witness that everything that God told them it would be, a land flowing with milk and honey, okay, houses that they wouldn't have to build, wells that they wouldn't have to dig. It was all true. It was all right there. But also, there were people in that land that seemed like giants to people. You know, sometimes when God brings you to a place where he has promised that he is going to provide, sometimes we think it's too good to be true. Or we think, well, maybe there's something else that we need to do, and we forget to listen to God. We forget to obey God. And we start to look at the world in a way, and the world gets bigger than us and bigger than our God. And so those people came back, and they told the people of Israel after their 40 days, it was everything is true, except for there were giants in the land, and we looked like grasshoppers in their sight. So they took a vote. And in the vote, it was 10 to 2. 10 people of the tribe of Israel decided we shouldn't go in there. It's too scary. It's beyond our capability. It was beyond their capability, but it wasn't their capability that they were going in there for. It was God's ability. But they started thinking of it in human terms, and they weren't able. And so they said, those 10 people said no. There were only 2 people that voted yes, Joshua and Caleb. God was angered by this, because this nation of Israel that he brought out of bondage to the Egyptians, he has now brought them on the precipice of the promised land that he's giving to them, a land that he swore to Abraham that he would give to his ancestors, and they decided not to go in. So God said, for every day that you were in the promised land, those spies, 40 days, 1 year in the desert, 1 year in the Eremos, 1 year in the wilderness, 1 year here, and this nation will not go in and possess it, but your children and your grandchildren will. Save for 2 people, Joshua and Caleb. Seems to me that when Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days, not only is he tested, but he's redeeming that peace. Where Israel was in the promised land for 40 days, and they decided not to go in. Jesus is in the Eremos, in the desert for 40 days, and he sees the promised land. In fact, because he goes through this, and because he goes through the ministry that he came here to do, we all can see the promised land in reaching God through Jesus Christ and the salvation we have in belief in him. So he completes it. He redeems us. He redeems even the process of going into the promised land. And he makes all things new. In this days of 40 days that we celebrate and we remember Jesus was tempted, it's also a time for us in the church to prepare ourselves for the receiving of our redemption. Now, we've already received that redemption, but it's to commemorate it. So I want to encourage us all that we use this time of Lent the season of preparation to get closer to our God, to trust in not the things that we see or the things in the world or the things that make up the stuff we need, but to take this time to trust in our God and to trust in His provision and to trust in what He wants to do with us and allow His will to be done in our lives, not ours. That begins with going to God's Word, opening up God's Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to remind us of everything that Jesus ever taught His disciples. And allow this time and this season of Lent to grow in us so that we be new creations at the end of it. And then Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new. For I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Let us go to God in prayer. Lord God Almighty, that is who You are. And You know the plans and the purposes that You have for us in our lives. You know what You have created us for, that we were made in Your own image so that we might be Your children. And that we might trust in Your direction for our lives. And as we do, Lord, we find out that Your direction for our lives is so much better than the direction that we have for ourselves. So, Lord, allow us to use these 40 days of Lent to grow closer to You, to hear Your voice at work in our hearts, and to be able to repeat Jesus' prayer, "Father, not my will, but Yours be done." All to Your glory, for it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.